Good afternoon. Welcome to the Henry Rain Show here on WWPR 1490 AM. Heard every Saturday, 12.05 p.m. till about 1.30 p.m. It's your weekly roundup of Bitcoin, cryptocurrency, blockchain news, and more. Oh, it comes and it goes, and this week that was so true. The Bitcoin Misery Index, if there is such a thing, at least there is according to Tom Lee, hits new highs while Bitcoin price hits 2018 lows, actually a little bit more than 2018. Could Mt. Gox sell-offs be over as the Tokyo District Court on Friday approved a petition to move the company out of criminal bankruptcy and into civil rehabilitation? And we'll explain what that means in just a little while. Also in Japan news, Japan's financial regulator ordered several cryptocurrency exchanges to improve their practices against money laundering. And Robinhood becomes the third cryptocurrency exchange that is seeking to pursue a federal banking license. Well, we'll cover all of that and more. I do want to quickly remind you that you can get the show on demand if you're not listening live. Of course, if you're not listening live, I don't know why I'm telling you about the podcast, because you're already listening on a podcast. Well, you can get the podcast. If you're listening live, then you can get the podcast and re-listen to it, or listen to it if you miss it, at any podcast platform, pretty much any that you prefer, iTunes, SoundCloud, Podomatic.com has the biggest archive and more. Also want to thank the people that showed up at the Sarasota Bitcoin Meetup last Saturday at Selby Library. And I want to thank them, but I want to give an announcement out to all the meetup attendees, whether it's be the Sarasota or the Bradenton Bitcoin Cryptocurrency or the Bradenton Business Blockchain and Development Meetup. For the summer, we are going to have a very limited schedule. For the most part, we'll be on hiatus until after Labor Day. I'll be traveling some of the summer. And I know a lot of the people that attend are also. We will be trying to come up with at least one special event for you between now and Labor Day. And helping us all in that will be members of the radio crew here. And let's say hi to them. It's the Financial Woman, Blockchain CPA, Cara Haas. Hi, Cara. How are you?
I'm great, Henry. Thanks. Thanks so much for having me.
How's your week been going?
It's been stressful. I know there doesn't seem like there was a lot of news, but plenty to keep up with and try to keep sane in the tumbling market.
And we, speaking of tumbling markets, we won't have Goldberg One unless he calls in. And we do have an open line at 888 today. No scheduled guests. 888-761-1490. 888-761-1490. If you hear something you want to comment on, we may hear from Goldberg One. We may hear from some of the other people. But we definitely have.
And that only proves that I did say. You made it right.
Yeah.
Well, he may be a lunatic, according to Billy Joel, but he's a perennial, and he's a skeptic, and he's reliable, and he's here every week. Augie, good afternoon, Augie.
Good afternoon, good morning, whatever time of day it is. If you're waking up, you know that there's sun somewhere, and there is hope on the sun. And I'll tell you that there is a company called Solar in Africa under a guy's name. What is his name? Joseph Thompson. He has ATEC. I'm just going to give you this. The system he has for blockchain is dependent only on the sun. The electronics of that are not electrically dependent anywhere else. And this ATEC is taken off. I watched this morning an interview on RT, and very interesting, on the Kaiser Report.
RT?
Yeah.
Russian Today?
Russian television.
Is that on your cable system, or do you get not, how are you getting that?
On Dish TV.
Okay. I think you get it online.
What's
too.
The name of it again?
The Kaiser Report?
The Solar.
It's called ATEC, and the Solar, it's Solar blockchain is what it is.
And the name of the project, ATEC?
ATEC is a sponsor.
I'm loving Augie's embrace. I mean, are you sensing it?
Well, watch what the words are saying there.
Oh, that's right. It's only radio. You can't see. You can't see, but his embrace of the blockchain.
Well, he also stated that Ethereum is the only dependable coin.
Well, that's all right. I'm taking whatever I can get out of you, Augie.
I'm a pragmatic at heart. You know that.
Augie's evolution has been slow to start, but it is like a snowball rolling downhill. If I knew what a snowball rolling downhill was like being a Florida boy. But from what I've heard, I think it's very much. I mean, you see the way he's using WhatsApp and texting all the time. I've known him 15 years. Probably didn't do radio with him, I don't know, it's other than a guest appearance. Maybe a guest appearance for 10, 12, 13, 14. Getting him to read the email. And now, he's like...
Well, even just from my first maybe two show appearances to now,
I'm looking for something that isn't corrupted. And this... What's been going before is entirely corrupted, because their basic reason is no regulation.
Yeah, he's got to pull it back.
Let's see. I give it 1 month and he's not writing checks anymore. That's where I'm going.
Yeah, I have a friend that has never used a debit card, never used an ATM.
Really?
He's got that much money.
Not much charge.
He uses a credit card and he just pays it off each month.
I do ATM.
Anyway. Sabine Priestley, by the way, SabinePriestley.com, if you want to see one of our absentee crew members and what's up with her, she just texted in The Education of Augie. I think that was an old movie.
We may remake it. We're going to remake
something
it.
Else. All right, we better get on to the news here.
I tell you, I've got news for you.
Well, markets weren't necessarily free falling, but they were dropping pretty quickly this week. The price of Bitcoin slid below $6,000 on Friday, hitting a new low for 2018. The Bitcoin price index, according to CoinDesk, fell to 5,938, surpassing the 5,947 low, which occurred at February 6th. So I'm not quite sure why they say, unless it's just to make you feel good, just a new low for 2018, because actually Bitcoin hasn't been this price till back around November of last year. But still, people that were in it over a year ago still have a 300% return. Cryptocurrency's market capitalization has also dipped, sliding to $102 billion, its lowest of the year, according to that same index. And there's a number of people weighing in on why they think that happened. Some pundits have offered a variety of views, starting with the possibility that the news from Japan influenced the decline. Japan's financial service agency issued 6 exchanges with business improvement orders, is what they call it over in Japan, after conducting on-site inspections. And, I mean, it's great that they go on-site, but I think online is probably where some of the keys to the exchange are. Ryan Rabaglia, head trader of crypto firm Octagon Strategy Limited, said, "The market is still trading on low volumes and has yet to break out of its current downtrend, leaving itself susceptible to sell-offs, although the market reacted negatively. I view this as a positive for the industry as a whole." So,
no volume, no sales, sorry.
Red is blue, black is white,
wow.
And sell-offs are positive for an uptrend.
This is Orwell in spades.
On Monday, Blue Line Futures President Bill Baruch said that Bitcoin's decreased volatility signaled that selling may finally be exhausted and may be bottoming out at around $6,000. He attributed the huge surge in value in December with the introduction of the Chicago Mercantile Exchange, Chicago Board of Options Exchange, Bitcoin futures, allowing people to take long and short positions on the value of Bitcoin. Quote, tremendous speculation, and the fear of missing out caused prices to skyrocket too quickly. Well, in just a few minutes, we're going to hear from other so-called experts on this, especially from Brian Kelly of CNBC. But we have expertise out to the front door of the studio today. And let's go to Cara first. When did you first notice the big drop? I think it was about a 600-point drop, 700-point drop about a day and a half ago.
It was pretty extreme. And, of course, I never time these drops. I usually publish something super positive, like it's all sunshine.
Mortgage the house.
Yeah.
Buy Bitcoin.
Everybody, come on to the party. And then next thing you know, my email's blowing up with comments of, like, as soon as you wrote that, everything went south. And then I never find myself with internet or a computer to even determine if there's anything happening. So, kudos to the crypto crew for making sure that there wasn't anything major.
We rain on your morning parade.
Exactly. So I definitely am of the school that the sell-off is good overall. I'm, and for those who are long on it, I'm a long-termer. So it gives the opportunity for those that are slower to the party and have taken that time to assess what's
happening.
Oh, yeah,
they're jumping on board right now.
Yeah, we're going to let it. It's going to
tap Titanic,
forward.
They're having one hell of a party. Let's get our boots and head out there.
Oh, yeah. I think we're going to, and I don't really have a lot of substance behind this, but I think we're definitely going to test 5,000.
Boat without a motor.
Well, as we speak, at the time of this taping, the Bitcoin is 6,125, according to my phone, which must be accurate. And last week, when we started talking about the graffiti, the blockchain graffiti,
oh, yes.
And I announced that the key graffiti on there was a Bitcoin flaming penis, we got a big spike in the Bitcoin price last week. So,
I'm
going to remind people right now about that.
You
remember the name of the site. We need to really...
Is it Satoshi's Place?
I think it's something like that. Just Google flaming Bitcoin penis, and I think you will get exactly what you're looking for. All right. Let's look at some of the actual news.
But I do think it is positive. And again, I'm all about, we don't know when the actual bottom is. That if you are trying to average in, do it wisely, because I think we are going to test lower.
See, I'm going to say things, and I wish Andy was here to defend himself, but to give an opposing point of view, because I'm not saying anything about Andy.
Oh, I can probably get some things that he has opposing views on.
Before the show, I was talking to Cara, and we were talking about some of the technical things that Andy puts on and the other people from SeekingCryptos.com, which has a wide breadth of experts, including our own Cara Haas and Andy, Goldbug One, and Jillian from Australia, and Mark Principato, who's been on the show from New York, experienced traders and foreign currency exchange and stocks. And they have a very sophisticated view, and they use all these different indicators, and they're looking at these oscillators and a lot of things that I just barely know what the acronym is for. And they say, well, and they predict what's going to, with the probability, the probable outcomes of certain of these indicators. And since I'm not that well educated on it, all I can do is look at the trend lines. And as I've said a couple different times in the last months, at least since May, after the April fizzle, is you got to go back 7 months, and this is a continuing downtrend. And sometime, I believe it's going to turn, but until the trend turns, it's still the trend. And you can look at Goldman Sachs, and they're supposed to have their cryptocurrency trading desk up by the end of the month, which I think probably meant July and not June. You look at some of these other things with Coinbase and Circle trying to become federal banks, and now we're going to get to Robinhood trying that same thing. You see all these things, and I would say that you're not going to see places like Goldman Sachs or some of these other ones put that kind of money and investment into something unless they expect it. But it, until they're actually live, it really serves their purpose that the price continues to drop. And not that I'm saying there's a conspiracy there, but I don't see anything to motivate to change the calculus for people.
That is why I brought up this company called
ATEC, right?
ATEC. Because the blockchain that they have is dependent only on solar electronics. There's no other electrical. Solar energy, yes. And so you have an advantage because you shut down the power, a lot of things get screwed over. And it doesn't matter whether it's regular banking or whatever.
I don't dismiss the blockchain product that you're talking about, but I don't think that the power for Bitcoin is really the bugaboo that people make it out to be.
Sure.
But let's look at some of these things a little bit more in depth that were said to affect the market. Bitcoin prices fell roughly 9% Friday. I'm actually getting pretty good, I think, of having a sixth sense about the market because since it's 24, I've been having a lot of problems trying to figure out when I sleep. And I've actually woken up at major market moves over the last couple of months, a little bit too late, but still within 15 minutes, 10 or 15 minutes of it happening. I think I have to sense the global anxiety that penetrates my sleep, and I wake up. But
I'm
in cash.
There is a bit of a pattern to it, though, isn't there? I mean, haven't you realized that you're
tired?
Well,
the pattern is I wake up, and I grab on my phone, and I was like, oh, no, there it goes again.
Yeah. But it tends to be about the same times, right? Like 1 a.m., 4 a.m.
Well, I mean,
time
it
with Asian markets, European. Yeah.
It's the problem. And
but you're still in cash, right?
I am in cash, but I'm helping somebody else out. Not as a professional advisor or anything like that, but I guess I'm the one that doesn't sleep. anyway,
I'm interrupting you.
Yeah, but actually, I guess I should disclose a little bit more. At this moment in time, I'm helping him because not everybody knows how to be short in this market. So I feel a certain responsibility about that.
Well, you got to carry the show on it today, let me tell you, because I don't know how to be short either.
So in this economic situation, we're having a trade war, the beginnings of one, and the dollar is strong for now. But when you get into trade wars,
if you're pessimistic about whether it's stock prices or the U.S. dollar or commodities or anything like that, it's easy to be short those.
Right.
I mean, they're established markets. It's a lot more difficult with Bitcoin and.
You're saying you're in cash, meaning you don't trust the market.
I'm not only in cash because of that, because I'm going to be traveling this summer. And my daughter and I are taking a trip in a couple of weeks. By the way, the Saturday after 4th of July will be a rerun show here, or actually a best-of show, I should say. And we'll probably replay the Charlie Shrem interview. And then in the end of August, I'll be in England with my daughter as she makes her transition over there to live with her husband. And so I don't want to run up short of cash for those things, and I don't want to be distracted either.
You want to maintain liquidity, right?
Well, yeah, but
when's it comfortable?
My waiting pool liquidity.
I know.
What do you have a comfortable, what you would consider a comfortable bottom? Like what your intuition?
Sorry?
I had to go back.
Work all my life.
I don't. I don't even need.
She goes right at you, Henry. Be careful.
I think it's a little too comfortable right now, actually.
You would be willing. I don't even
how
need people to
bond?
Tell me how.
How's your bond doing?
There you go.
I don't even need people to set me up. I just do it for myself. walk right into my own bottom. But my thought is that. So you have your cash positions and have allocated them to what you want, but is there a point in the market where you believe that you're going to negotiate how much?
Well, I went back in it was about April when we had that nice run up of 50%. And then when it turned down, because it looked like a reversal, and in a way it was, most people get a 50% return on your money in a month. You know, you think you're doing pretty good. But then once it reversed from that peak, you look at the 3 or 4 month chart, and it just maintained that same long downtrend. So I lost the end of your question there.
Well, just, I mean, are you going to choose not to dine somewhere really nice when, you know, you're on your summer plan to PC? Is there a point where they pass low that you're
it
like...
It keeps changing because I would have said, 2 weeks ago, I would have wanted to see it turn back up past 7,200. But while I was looking for it to turn past up 7,200, I saw it go down to 6,000. So now I'm looking for it to go back past 6,900, and then I'll see what I think of the trend at that point in time. But I'm not worried about missing 10%.
Sure.
Because we had some people that I know in the chat group and elsewhere, we were like, you know, buy it, it's on sale. And I'm like, why? To get a 10% bump?
Well, to defend that argument, though, too, and I appreciate the 10% point, but to a degree, some of it is if you had already intended to buy and you were looking at something. So, and we'll use one of Goldberg's examples from one of his articles, a laptop that you really want that retails at, say, $500, and you see that it's on sale this week for $350. Because
so you're using the straw man argument of Goldberg. that
save me.
I'm going to use this product that I use for something totally different than an investment as an example of how to spend my money, as opposed to the investment that I need to get a return. That laptop that you buy is only going to be worth less than whatever you paid for it at whatever good price that you got it. He used dinner or two, which is most people eat every day, so it's hard to postpone that,
all
too.
All right, so there's a piece of jewelry that I really want. Can we say there's a gold ring I really
to
want?
An
am I getting closer to less straw?
Yeah,
like let's say that there's a piece of jewelry I really want.
What do you like, anyway?
Right?
Is it pretty?
Let me get through my argument first.
Okay.
Then if you buy my argument, then I'll start telling you what it is.
Only at a discount.
So if the piece of jewelry I want is $10,000, priced at $10,000, and I go to my local, I don't know, K Jewelers, and it's $8,000 right now, and I already knew that I wanted it a week ago, am I going to hang out and wait if I really want to wear it to an event or I want to use it now? Am I going to wait and see if it goes down more?
So let me see if I get this right and maybe parse your language a little bit. So this is something that has an immediate utility for you.
Not necessarily.
You just said you wanted to wear it to go
no,
on.
No, I do really want to wear it. I
and
mean,
you're going
it's
someplace
going to
special.
Be a boy magnet. Yes. I really, so say that I want to buy it for a special event.
I'm not old enough to be your father, but I should say that you really don't want to attract boys that are so into the superficial and can't see.
Work with me. I've gone from a laptop to a gold ring.
Yeah. Okay.
So let's say that it could potentially have an immediate use, and it could also have a long term. Would you say that jewelry could have both immediate and long-term?
And a return on your investment.
And a return on my investment.
Of course it could.
Yes.
So I recognize the value in all of those.
Mm-hmm.
I've watched what K Jewelers does as I've been eyeing up this jewelry.
Right.
And I've never seen them go below 50%.
Mm-hmm. There's a key phrase.
But there's little bit of my retail history coming out is all. So do I want to run the risk based on how many other people may or may not be buying the demand for gold rings at that time
to see if it's going to go another $100 lower, or do I want to...
Well, the key phrase you said is you haven't seen it go below 50% of the retail value.
Mm-hmm.
But we've seen Bitcoin go much below wherever it is trading.
Well, wherever it's trading, but that doesn't necessarily mean that that was retail value either. I don't know that you can apply the 50%, like that rule back to Bitcoin.
I wasn't the one that brought it into the conference. Maybe you'd like us to go to the news.
Let's turn back. My example doesn't work. Nonetheless, I think there's argument that people are, based on sentiment, willing to take that chance.
Let's try another analogy.
All right, fair enough.
All right, there's this company that stock is trading, and historically it's been a good performer. And now the stock has come down 50%. Should we buy the stock?
It depends on the company.
And the circumstances.
The fundamentals. It depends on
Let's use Caterpillar Tractor
and
Company.
It depends what your intent for it is.
Depends on sentiment, too.
Are you going to be long-term or short-term on it? And what are you going
to
do with
it? We take it right back to the difference between Andy and I, because Andy has the sophistication to look at some of these indicators and interpret that this is part of an Elliott wave pattern or something like that. I will look at that stock chart. And I'll say, the stock's coming down. Nothing has indicated to me that the trend has changed, and I'm not going to touch the stock.
But you can both be right. It doesn't mean that either of you are wrong, because
I think
you're looking at it from whether it be long-term or short-term, too.
I think
are you trying to trade like Andy?
I think there's an element left out that's different right now. If we get into a trade war, folks, all bets are off on speculation. They just jar. This is what happened in the 30s. That's how we got into the huge mess we got in the 30s because of a trade war. Smoot-Hawley made people fight each other and trade shut down and everybody got unemployed. And so all of your argument about the future of a value of a trade hung on whether there was future production in the country. And it just died in a trade war.
Right. Let's go ahead and go to a break, and we'll come back and try and get to some of these stories that we're talking about. You're listening to The Henry Raine Show. Trying to get into Bitcoin but don't know where to start? Bight Federal ATMs make it easy. Safe, secure, and reliable, a Bight Federal ATM introduces you to cryptocurrency investing with a method you're familiar with at a real physical location. If you've ever used a bank ATM, then you're ready to step up to a Bight Federal ATM and start building your digital assets. Located throughout Florida and Georgia, there's a Bight Federal ATM near you. Go to BightFederal.com to find a location for you. That's BightFederal.com, and you'll find a real phone number, a real email, and real people you've heard live on The Henry Raine Show.
There's a new way to experience wellness. Hi, I'm Laura Alcover, owner and operator of Alcover Massage. We're the first business in Bradenton's Village of the Arts to accept cryptocurrency. Whether you use Bitcoin, Bitcoin Cash, Ethereum, or Litecoin, you can now pay for quality massage therapy using cryptocurrency at Alcover Massage. So if you seek medical massage or a relaxing session with light pressure, your session will be conducted by a talented therapist. You'll be glad you booked with us. Check out and like our Facebook page where you can book online in seconds. And remember to tell your friends. Give us a call, 941-592-3187. That's 941-592-3187. Alcover Massage, quality massage therapy in your neighborhood. MA number 50525, MM number 34081.
It's on the way out.
and our ever-appropriate liner music there, leading us back into the Henry Raines Show here on WWPR 1490 AM. Again, heard every Saturday, 12:05 till about 1:30, and available on your podcast platform of preference on demand. So just Google Henry Raines Show. Probably even Google Kara Haas, or, well, if you just Google Augie, you probably, who knows what will turn up. So have to... have to look for Augie on Twitter. Maybe you can find us that way. Bitcoin prices fell roughly 9% Friday. By the way, and hi to all the absent crew members that are putting their 2 cents worth in or two satoshis in over our comments here. Bitcoin prices fell roughly 9% Friday after Japan's finance. We already went through that. The order from Japan's financial service agencies led Bitfire, the country's largest crypto exchange, to suspend the creation of new accounts while it makes improvements, especially in its measures to stop money laundering and terrorist financing. Actually, I bet they didn't phrase it that way in their press release. I think it's they were improving their know-your-customer requirements by the Japanese government. Anyway, but it did mean that there isn't new capital flowing into those exchanges that aren't accepting new accounts at this time, which has to be a little bit of a damper on the marketplace. And so that was what caused that drop at about 4 o'clock, 4:30 that morning, our time on the East Coast here. And then we got the Mt. Gox news a little bit later. But let me just finish these thoughts. In the long term, it builds a better ecosystem to make sure this is a legitimate asset class, said Brian Kelly. Part of making sure exchanges are up to snuff. Mark Newton, technical analyst at Newton Advisors, said even minor cryptocurrency news has the power to trigger a larger sell-off. This choppy range with low volume, it takes one bout of selling and the entire space goes down. There's just a lack of interest. There's a lack of buying. And the sellers are dominating the marketplace. And from our absentee crew, we got a text to say, well, that also means there's an absence of sellers. Well, but if there were buyers that would pay more, then we would have sellers. So low volume is low volume. Anyway, moving on. Another act in the news that followed just a few hours later, while we were still trying to figure out what was going on, came out of Japan, too. And when I first saw this, I thought, oh, well, this will cause... First, I actually saw this news before I saw the other news, at least the implications of the other news. And I thought, well, this should be good. And then the market continued to go down. And I said, well, why is this bad? And then it turned out that the news about the exchanges seemed to outweigh this. But this should be good news for people that were long-term hodlers of Bitcoin since Mt. Gox. Creditors holding Bitcoin at infamous cryptocurrency exchange Mt. Gox may recover their funds after all, a court has ruled. According to a document posted on the Mt. Gox website, Tokyo District Court on Friday approved a petition to move the company out of criminal bankruptcy and into civil rehabilitation. And
what does that mean?
We'll get there, because that's what I thought when I read it, too, because I didn't know... Here in the U.S., you're not even in criminal bankruptcy unless you've committed fraud or something like that. And I don't even think there's such a thing called criminal. Is there our blockchain CPA? Is there a criminal bankruptcy? There's fraud, and then there's bankruptcy.
Right. There's fraud and bankruptcy. There's reorganization and liquidation. Either you're going out of business or you get back there.
Bankruptcy is a civil procedure.
Civil rehabilitation, though.
All our president.
I think we should borrow
all our rehabilitation should be civil.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's always similar.
The exchange
on the short end
was the Mt. Gox was hacked for $473 million in 2014. It was the largest in history until our January 2018 when CoinCheck was hacked. But, of course, Bitcoin was worth a lot more. So I think probably if you look at the total amount of Bitcoin, there were more Bitcoin in Mt. Gox. The theft, of course, this is under Japanese law, left Mt. Gox insolvent and was forced into criminal bankruptcy. It remained in criminal bankruptcy, and creditors likely would have been paid in fiat currency at the exchange rate in 2014, which really they could have cashed out right away and paid everybody that this year, approximately $480 per Bitcoin. However, it has appreciated, as we just said, and it would have the surplus would have gone to the former owner, which would have been quite a windfall for
right.
him.
Exactly. Like, how did this not work out for me?
Yeah, that was all part of his plan, I'm sure.
That seems very civil.
They actually were finding, if you go into one of the stories about that time, the general time frame of the things that were happening there, because it exploded to the point that they couldn't keep up with what they were doing. They actually found boxes of, they thought they had lost more, but they found boxes of paper Bitcoin addresses that were just laying around.
My word.
Well, and this
I imagine they looked under seat cushions, too, and found Bitcoins.
Well, and to a degree, the way this had the potential to play out leads you to believe that the exchanges in general clearly do need cleaned up, and there is a lot of incentive for inside jobs.
Well, what happened is the creditors petitioned the court to allow Mt. Gox to enter civil rehabilitation that will allow them to be prorated the remaining Bitcoin, which will allow for more of them. And then for the rest of us, this is good news, because we won't have the trustee dumping Bitcoin on the market to the tune of hundreds of millions of dollars. Currently holds 137,000, just rounded to 138,000 Bitcoin. And you multiply, add three zeros to that, you get to 137 million, and then you multiply times six. So you're right, looking at close to $1 billion worth of Bitcoin that could have been dropped on the market that will now most likely go to people who will then dump it on the market, unless.
Do you really believe if you had Bitcoin, if you purchased Bitcoin during the Mt. Gox, or from Mt. Gox exchange, and you now realize that you are going to be able to get this Bitcoin as opposed to fiat, do you really think those people are planning on dumping that on the market?
Well, that's the wonders of the marketplace.
Yeah.
Many, many people making individual decisions in their best interest. And I think they will make it probably based on whatever the price is. And when do they get it? The earliest they could get it, and it's unlikely to be that early, is February of next year, when the court takes up on how they were going to rehabilitate all these Bitcoin and send them on the straight and narrow.
Are they going to be are they at the mercy of the current value at that time?
They'll be
it'll be like, are you at the mercy of what a dollar can buy you when you get your dollar?
That's what I was asking.
Yeah. I mean, as long as it's one for one, if I bought one Bitcoin from my
stock, it's going to be something like, you're going to get a half a Bitcoin for every Bitcoin. I'm just making that number up. But you will get it prorated what remains. But it will be a lot more than what it was worth when you put it in.
Sorry.
Say you bought it at 500 or 10 or 600, 10% of the current value. And therefore, now you're going to do this repudiation of what it was. You're going to get half of that. You're going to get 300 or whatever you paid
versus what the value
is at the time.
Actually, they paid probably less than this. But if you paid, let's keep the numbers easy, $600,
right,
and now Bitcoin's worth $6,000, and you get half a Bitcoin, you got $3,000.
If the value is in that position at that time.
Yeah. Well,
sir, the value's going to be more than what you bought it at Mt. Gox.
I would bet you a dollar right now it will be more than your
own sentiment. Oh, well.
I rule it.
Oh, there you go.
I just want to say we're going to do a little bit different formatting, and this is almost as much for the people here in the studio as for the people listening. That I'm just going to roll tape continuously since we don't have a guest coming up, and this will be one very long file that will be on the podcast that you get, as I've said, at the podcast platforms of
because
choice.
We might actually get to the news.
I was thinking that we may get past, let's see, I'm on page 8 of the rundown out of 17, which is one of the, by the way, for those out there listening, and especially the crew that isn't here, knows that 17 pages, they're probably like, gosh, why didn't we go to that show? Of course, we never read it anyway, so it doesn't really matter. This is one of the lighter show preps that I do. All right, so we covered Mt. Gox. Other positive news, stock trading app Robinhood, which recently began rolling out cryptocurrency trading to many of its U.S. customers. I was going to read that. Many of us customers wants to offer its customer savings account and other traditional banking services. Bloomberg reports that the $5.6 billion California-based firm approached regulators at the Office of the Comptroller of the Currency about acquiring the license necessary to become a to receive a national banking charter. They have 4 million people registered on Robinhood's commission-free trading platform for stocks, users in 16 states. Many regional banks and community banks would love to have 4 billion people as customers. At present, Robinhood is registered with FINRA as a broker-dealer and is regulated by the Securities and Exchange Commission. This follows also Coinbase following the same path. Of course, they are, if Robinhood has 4 million customers, I think you can take quite a high multiple of that for Coinbase's potential customers. And then Goldman Sachs-backed Circle, which bought the Poloniex cryptocurrency exchange, is also seeing. So we have three major cryptocurrency, U.S. cryptocurrency exchange, looking to become banks. And you think, since Carr is the closest of us to a millennial.
Oh, my goodness. I don't know why. I just wanted to rejoice in that. I needed to celebrate that. Nobody's ever put me that close.
Well, that's because your work ethic is so beyond your generation. You almost have a depression-era work ethic. The revenuers are going to come take our house.
Okay. Well,
we totally lost it, right?
Well,
we were talking about something.
Well,
I remember
we
had something to do with cryptocurrency.
I'm guessing it's how likely we think some of these cryptocurrency outfits, like Circle, or is it Goldman Sachs or Circle?
They're backed by Goldman Sachs.
Robinhood. And I lost what the other one was.
Coinbase.
Oh, Coinbase. Yeah.
No.
How could I lose them? The likelihood of them becoming a bank is really the question.
It could
right?
be. You're asking me what my question
yeah,
to you
what,
was.
What
well, I never really
was.
Got to it because we got sidetracked by the joy of being referred to as a millennial.
Oh, that's right. And I don't know what a bank is because I'm a millennial, right?
Yeah. So you probably already have them loaded on your phone just waiting for the chance to finally do something with all these paychecks that are waiting to be deposited somewhere.
And that's why I was waiting for Bitcoin to start to really bottom out because I didn't have the liquidity when it
originally and because you're a millennial, you didn't know to go to AmScot.
Exactly.
All right. So I think she answered the question. Yeah, she thinks the millennials are going to jump on this.
Well, I definitely think the millennials will. It's to what degree the OCC and those who currently hold the whether you can be a bank or not power.
Office of the Comptroller of the Currency.
Who kind of had a snarky remark in there somewhere of, in one of the stories, he was quoted at one of the fintech or one of the conferences. I'm guessing it was an OCC conference.
The actual Comptroller of the Currency, Joseph Otting, who not a single millennial knows the name of.
I didn't either, so I definitely
quote,
am. I'm a millennial. I love it.
Quote, most fintechs come to us because they have heard of this thing called a national banking charter that gives them, they haven't heard, they Googled it, that gives them preemption across state lines. When they come and they speak to us and they understand what it really takes to be a bank, they kind of glaze over and often leave skid marks leaving the building. That was a little snarky.
Well, it was super snarky, and actually it's difficult for me to, on air, filter my reaction to that with the OCC and some of the regulatory bodies. I mean, that's what's making... I'm going to identify with millennials now. That's what makes us want to just circumvent the system or beat the man or rise up as opposed to go work with them because clearly they're not willing to work with us and meet us halfway. I love
and
that.
And they're going to die soon. You
well,
guys are trying to take
so
over.
Lovely if that would if they could just die a death by snarkiness, no, but that's not going to happen.
They'll be as alive as Milton Friedman.
And the biggest issue.
Now, am I supposed to make a comment about Andrea Mitchell?
Well, Milton Friedman's long gone, and that's
Alan Greenspan.
Yeah, I think you got the wrong character.
Wrong old wrinkly old man. Sorry,
yeah, the wrong wrinkly old man. Exactly.
Balding.
Yeah. Well, he does.
Well, thanks for keeping Carr on topic.
There you go.
All right. Well, elsewhere in the news, this is something right up Augie's alley. You got a comfortable seat there, Augie?
Should I sit down? I mean,
you need to be paying attention to the bottom line because it's something I can't comment on.
The U.S. Senate is looking to assess the impact of cryptocurrencies in American elections.
Oh, wow.
The Senate Subcommittee on Crime, Terror, and Terrorism will host a hearing titled, quote, Protecting Our Elections, Examining Shell Companies and Virtual Currencies as Avenues for Foreign Interference. That will be June 26th, so coming up this week. Be sure and check the U.S. Senate Committee on the judiciary's website, so maybe you can watch that live.
Lindsey Graham is going to be chairing that. Huh?
Yes, he will.
I read that as Milton Friedman, but yes, Lindsey Graham.
He's still alive.
He seems like a very...
graying a little bit, though. Federal Election Commission ruled in 2014 that political campaigns and political action committees may accept Bitcoin as a donation under existing federal laws. The FEC treats cryptocurrency contributions as, quote, in-kind donations, similar to stock, bonds, and other assets.
Wow.
What?
I say wow to that.
Why do you say wow to that?
Well, if they're going to have in-kind donations through cryptocurrencies, I think that opens a whole raft of stuff.
Well, it's been okay since 2014.
They've been doing it since then.
Mm-hmm. That's what I just said about two sentences before that.
And Lindsey Graham's in favor of it.
Well, in 2014, they ruled that they could do that. Oh, you're right.
Look at him.
I know. I did actually read this story.
Well, I missed it.
He reads stuff on his phone now.
Yeah, there you go.
From the email.
He's shilling ATAC.
Look, of course, the monitor, the 32-inch monitor is 18 inches away from him right in front.
Well, the trouble is my eye. I have
a millennial. Augie is foregoing the 72-inch computer screen for his
Well, the reason I'm doing that is because my left eye is a problem, so I have to do the best I can.
All right, so we should back it up and give Augie a chance here on this with the.
So anyway,
the
so for people that don't know about in-kind donations, so if you say cater a campaign event or something for a candidate as a donation, it has to be recognized at the value that it was worth when you gave it to them. So you can't give them a office building and say it was worth $100. You have to value it at the true market price. So when they get the cryptocurrencies, they have to recognize it in their reports at the value it was when it was given to them. Now, that it'll be interesting to see because we have different politicians that are making an effort to accept this, but one in particular, Brian Ford, a former senior advisor to the Obama administration, ran for Congress, has raised approximately $200,000 in cryptocurrencies with more than $5,000 from his own wallet. Now, this is what he's running with the backing of Silicon Valley entrepreneurs, et cetera. There's a lot of talk, not just in our little group, but out there. Some people think that the Republicans are more pro-business, pro-crypto. We've got Democrats on the other side, too, not only like this gentleman that running for Congress, but Senator Tom Warner. So it's really not a red or blue issue, although we do have some. But there's another congressman in California that's a real Luddite about it all. And needs to take some lessons from Augie about opening up his vision.
We need to get him in here.
There you go.
Yeah. He'll be the ones telling us how it's all terrorism.
Here's your next line on Ethereum, so you can go into.
So what I was going to say about that. So how long until his opposition runs a thing about how he's accepted $200,000 of cryptocurrency, and how does he know it's not terrorist related money?
There you go.
Well, and that is something that, and I don't know if it happened to him or if it's happened to other ones that we've either had as guests or people that talk about it.
If you think you can get a vote by running into something like that.
And run into the ads,
And I don't even remember who I... It won't be long. I mean, it probably has already happened. But could those ads actually backfire on those people as people become more educated?
Oh, excuse me. Educated about the elections? Are you kidding?
Educated about cryptocurrency and
tied to financing elections.
Tying to financing elections.
Right. Well, there is a blockchain caucus in Congress. Like many other caucuses that they have in Congress. And Congressman Tom Emmer is one of them. He praised the U.S. Securities and Exchange Commission for clarifying Ethereum's native cryptocurrency, Ether, is not a security. We talked about that last week, but now politicians are coming forward to weigh in on that. The Minnesota congressman said, Director Himmons' comments are encouraging, specifically a suggestion that the decentralized and useful nature of certain technologies may provide a means towards regulatory certainty, even for assets which may have been considered a security. I tried my best to make that sound interesting, but it still came out dry as heck. Well, he also said he would appreciate a light-touch approach from the SEC and other regulators so far, and that could be in the cards. Also, another ally in the administration, former Congressman Mick Mulvaney, who is now the acting director of the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau, moving over, I believe, from budget director, who told an audience at the Future of FinTechs conference on Wednesday that overburdensome regulation is not good for the nascent industry. We knew at an early point in Bitcoin that, as with any developing financial technology, we need to find that sweet spot, which you can pretty much insert whatever noun you want where Bitcoin was and financial technology, and you can, that will be a true statement too. If we overregulate and discourage people from entering the marketplace, that has bad consequences too. So warming up to it as...
And both sides are definitely warming up to it. I think that you're going to see most, at least the politicians, existing politicians, are realizing that they need to get on board to some degree because of how many other people control their longevity and their positions. So
you're listening to WWPR 1490 AM, Bradenton, Sarasota, St. Petersburg, Tampa Bay. And Augie, you were looking at that with the anticipation of saying something about that, I thought.
That being?
Well, you said, well, it goes right into the next story about Ethereum, as you looked on your rundown, and I thought that meant that you were ready to...
Well, I was echoing the Mulvaney or something like that, over-regulating. It's always over-regulating when you call people to a halt for criminal behavior, sort of like the immigration issues. But other than that...
I can't go down the...
There you go.
The immigration part, but... Over-regulation is different from going after criminal behavior.
Maybe it's one and the same.
How so?
The ones that are doing the over-regulating are picking and choosing what they're going to regulate.
So you're saying that over-regulating is criminal behavior?
In some cases,
okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. All right. Fair enough. Mm-hmm. I thought you were saying...
No.
Okay.
Something different.
So looking at the time, I'm not going to go into these stories, but so you have an idea that... criticism were leveled against U.S. crypto exchange Coinbase for allegedly being underprepared. Anyway, there's been a Freedom of Information Act which received 134 pages of complaint that were filed by Coinbase, filed by Coinbase users to the U.S. SEC. Business Insider news service got those. Also, Bitfinex, which is the company that we talked about with Tether many times over. Their Phil Potter, their chief strategy officer, has left the country, and he is also
the
director
company, right?
Of Tether.
Yeah.
And it doesn't say that he's leaving that. He's being replaced at Bitfinex by Bitfinex's CEO. And speaking of Tether, Free Sporkin and Sullivan LLP, an intern law firm, released a report saying, oh, all the Tether's there? And it's fully backed by more than $2 billion in reserves, although we didn't really audit it. But because we're a big-name legal firm, take our word for it, and the marketplace rejoiced. We've got still a half hour to go here, and Carr had done a lot of prep here, but we have a little bit of audio that will take us into that. Well, CNBC had a lot to say about the pricing of Bitcoin and giving a lot of grief to some of their regular people that appear and talk about that. This is in the Fast Money segment, which is usually where they talk about Bitcoin, and they decided to hold a Bitcoin funeral this Friday.
Well, all this terrible price action in crypto has given us pause and forced us to ask a tough question. Should we continue to cover Bitcoin? And the answer is sadly no. So today we're having a funeral for Bitcoin. It was fun while it lasted, so many memories, so many friends. There was Tom Lee and his calls for 20,000 by year end. There was Novogratz and his calls for 40,000. And there was Ripple. I think we'll miss you most of all, Brad Garlinghouse. And then there were the characters. Bitcoin Jesus, the Oracle of Bitcoin, all 500 of the Ethereum co-founders, and who could forget the Coinbase screen grab and mindless trolling on Twitter, and of course our Bitcoin bug. Bitcoin, we hardly knew you, but you will occupy...
Hold on.
So, no, it's not really the end of Bitcoin coverage on CNBC.
I was so afraid it was. I finally just started warming up to watching it.
You
or at least the clips you sent
me. You didn't. Oh. And
I'm like, wait a second. Now what am I gonna watch? That's my That's my gateway to TV.
Why don't you sign up for Google TV?
No, I can't do it.
Why?
Because I would never get through the article, the reading.
Why read?
I like to read.
That's why we have video.
But I have all of you to watch the video. Can I talk you into, can I delegate some of my reading to you?
You can.
Will you read it?
Well, watch the videos about it.
Right, there we go. So
I think Augie's watching videos on his phone right now.
But I was
BuzzFeed
so
or something over there.
Because I like that curated TV. I don't need Google TV service when I have Henry.
Okay. Well, the audience doesn't have Henry sending them emails, so let's go to the audio. This is Brian Kelly's rebuttal. We'll see if we can either agree or pick this apart.
Hey, listen, I've got a couple things I want to say here. This is not the funeral for Bitcoin whatsoever. So follow me over here to the thing. I'm going to tell you what's going on here. A couple different things. Let's look at the Bitcoin bug that we just retired, and all of a sudden we're declaring that that the Bitcoin funeral is here. You know when that Bitcoin bug came on? That was just around the highs. So when we start to declare a funeral and things get really horrible, sentiment is approaching the lows. So hopefully we'll use that funeral bug to say, hey, you know what? That was near the lows. Number two.
I understand the whole concept that when sentiment gets the lowest, that's when the turnaround is going to make. Yes, turnarounds happen by definition whenever the previous sentiment is reversed. But there's also a negative sentiment about a lot of people that pass away. There is no reversal. I'm not saying that about Bitcoin. I'm just saying, you know, you can sort of tailor this situation.
Nothing is forever.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So just a thought there.
There you go.
Just because sentiment's at the bottom doesn't mean things are going to get better. I guess
the gold bug says it's going to be 32,000 in September.
Henry, that means we're going to have a funeral for the show.
Uh-oh.
Are you looking for a getaway here?
What? No, but I'm not negative sentiment about the show, but eventually all things come to an end.
That's true.
I mean, I don't plan on doing this in my hover round.
Well, then it's a good thing you're
maybe
not
I do. It depends on when I get the hover round.
I'm going to tell you, if you were invested in Bitcoin, you would be. That's my...
You know, the time to get a hover round is when you don't need one. I used to work at Hover Round. And in the training, we got one afternoon where we got to work. Maybe it was a whole day we got to. And I was lucky enough. I got the one. And even though I need to lose weight, I wasn't heavy enough for the heavy duty people, for people that weighed over 450 pounds. But that was so fast to be in the heavy-duty Hummer. I was zipping around everybody else. I was up on one wheel going around corners. So I would suggest that if you got disposable income and you want to have a good time around the mansion, you get yourself a Hummer heavy-duty. Anyway, I digress.
Well, not only that, I think you brought the whole example of the gold ring and the laptop and whatnot full circle. The time to get a hover around is when
you don't need it.
Yeah. And you're not necessarily waiting for the
price. The time to get something self-indulgent and personally gratifying, the best time to get it is when you don't need it. Because nothing can gratify you greater than being gratified by something you don't need.
Well, so if you buy, you get something you don't need, what do you do with it? You don't need it. You don't need it.
I should say when it isn't necessary.
Right.
You know, your internal need for gratification is a need.
Well,
there you
I'm
go.
Not sure what we're talking about here now when you talk about gratification.
I think it's working. I think it's working for why you need Bitcoin now.
Well, you can tell yourself that.
Yeah. I'm buying what I'm selling.
All right, let's go back to Brian Kelly.
Bob talked about the Japan exchanges ordered to improve business conditions. It's actually a good thing. Short run, it's going to be a little tough because they're stopping new accounts from coming in, but actually they're cleaning up the system. They're making sure it's more robust, making sure it's better for people. And then finally, there's news today that Mt. Gox is going into rehabilitation, and they're going to distribute the rest of the $1 billion worth of Bitcoin. But here's what's great about that. They're not going to distribute it until at least Q1 of 2019. Everybody thinks all of a sudden there's going to be a wave of selling. Not happening now. So let's go to the chart and see where we are. Now,
did he just say he thinks there's going to be a wave of selling when everybody gets their Bitcoin? He hasn't been listening to this show. Which would require a time warp since this was Friday when he was talking. There you go.
I walked over here. Look at this. Okay. We've had this big downtrend, 65, 70%. Peak to down here. That is not unusual for Bitcoin. It's very painful. But look at this, where we are right here, okay? Guess where we were? That was only back in November, okay? You know where we were a year ago? $2,500. So
I'm going to go back to that.
Let's put this in perspective. It doesn't mean that Bitcoin can't go lower. If this is a bear market, and bear markets, we don't know where they end. There's usually some kind of big crescendo to that. But this is by no means the funeral for Bitcoin.
So, BK, when you look at that middle circle, the middle level that you just plugged in there, that's roughly December, early on December, that's when Bitcoin futures, correct me if I'm wrong, started trading. And then about 17 days later, we see the peak in Bitcoin, and we haven't seen that be resurrected, or we haven't seen that lower trend line be broken.
I'm not going. He dismisses this. He says the volume is not there to be significant. I would agree with him on that, but the fact is that the majority of trading is not in the United States, and
exactly.
There are overseas markets that you can short in. There's actually Kraken. You can short in the U.S. market, too. So you didn't need the futures to be able to short if you were truly a trader with a lot of Bitcoin or a little bit of Bitcoin. The methods were already there. So, and I only gave the phone number at the very beginning of the show, 888-761-1490. If you want to get your voice heard on the radio in the last 15 minutes here of the show, you can call us at 888-761-1490. But then you'd be stepping all over Kara's segment. But you'll be welcome.
Okay.
No, don't take that as a discouraging word.
You're welcome, man.
And so that was Brian Kelly, the ever optimistic Bitcoin bull. And then we have Todd Gordon from TradingAnalysis.com. Not to be confused with the famous gold bug one, a.k.a. Andy, at TradingView.com. I don't even know that Todd Gordon has the tens and tens of thousands of followers that Andy does. But he is...
I never heard of this guy.
Well, he was actually... Every year, at least for recent years, CNBC has a stock draft, which is to parallel the, you know, any kind of athletic draft. Only people pick stocks. And one of the Todd Gordon, his first pick, I think they get three picks. So his first round, he picked Bitcoin, and this was back in April. I guess you're allowed to pick a commodity instead of a stock. They make the rules as they go on CNBC. And the students from the college who had an earlier pick, you know, you could pick the, you know, you want to pick the first draft round,
right,
pick, they picked Disney, I think. But anyway, everybody's surprised that the millennials, are you a millennial if you're a college student? I think you're just tail end of the millennials.
I think tail end.
We need a name for the next generation coming up.
There is one for sure. I think it's, is it?
We can't say that on the air.
I'm not sure. Oh, yeah.
Anyway.
They picked that for 2018, correct? The millennials had picked Disney as the stock for 2018.
For the coming year.
For the coming year.
Yeah. So.
Because they thought Bitcoin was in a bubble, right?
They just chose not to pick Bitcoin. They had their reasons. I mean, maybe they were. I don't know.
I'm trying to help you out. I actually watched that. I watched that video.
Oh, the video that we're talking about. Yeah. Well, let's play it.
Perfect. Even better. Help me.
So this is Todd Gordon, because you knew that the CNBC crew in the day of the Bitcoin funeral are going to love to get on him for picking Bitcoin as his number one draft pick, which is now down about 20%, and making him a trailer in all the stock pickers here.
Got it.
I am short, and as bad as that.
So since April, he's shorted Bitcoin. After he didn't work the way he wanted, he's now announcing June 22nd or 21st here that he is short. Now, listen to when he went short. He picked it in April, and he went short.
Sound a bit sounded about getting to get the Bitcoin. Believe it or not, and I'm not just saying it was part of the plan, I did expect Bitcoin to drop. I thought for a long time we were going to drop below 5,000, shake out a lot of longs, need a lot of discouragement. And at that point, the technicals will kick in, I think, around the 4,000 or 3,000 mark. So I actually was expecting it to drop. I am short. I will cover. And because there's so much there's so much realized volatility in this market, this thing on average, most of the trades.
Hold on, Todd. Bottom line, you think this thing is going to be higher by the end? Can I bottom line that?
Absolutely. Yeah, okay. Down to 4,000, cover it. And I think by the time this contest is over in February, I think we'll be well back above 10,000. And I think I'll be in pretty good shape.
It's losing money right on schedule.
Well, the great thing about this, Tyler, is you could be short in many of these cash exchanges.
Yeah, but not in our contest.
Yeah, but not in the contest. You got to be long, and right, long is wrong, baby.
This is a trading market, Tyler. You're going to be long. You got to be short. This is this is a trading market.
But not in our contest. In our contest, you're committed to being long.
I'm not worried. I've got them right where I want them. I do.
You got them where you want them. I like that.
You weren't the only one. We want to play. I mean, you gloated. Let's not kid anybody. But you weren't the only one. Listen to what all these other people said that day.
Bitcoin.
This is way back 2 months ago.
To me, it's the one stands out. I thought that would go number one. Although when I saw the Stevens guys and gals were number one, I knew they wouldn't go that route because they had professors in their ears saying, this is how I understand how stocks work and blah, blah, blah. But Bitcoin is fascinating.
I can't believe college kids respectfully gave me Bitcoin. Millennials gave me Bitcoin.
You guys are getting a lot of grief for being the millennials with the first pick and not going with Bitcoin.
Yeah, we are. Yeah.
why not? Would your professor have gotten mad at you?
I don't think he would have been too happy with us. We think it's a bubble. It's going to burst soon.
Well, those kids are looking pretty smart right now, Todd.
I mean...
So Todd Gordon said he went short on Bitcoin June 10th, so he would have missed the last 20% drop. And conversely, he's made money from being short, except he's still long in the contest, so he better hope he's right.
Right, exactly. I mean, he's still in it for the long haul and thinking he's going to be right by the end of the year.
Yeah.
By way of 4,000. They didn't talk about.
But I've seen other people with their technical analysis saying it's going to go down to 4,000. So we'll see.
Oh, I definitely don't doubt that it could get there. Not necessarily at the end of this year.
But it'll come back.
There.
Yeah.
It's definitely coming back.
It's going to come back.
It's coming back. There's no question about that. Do we really have a question about that?
Yeah.
You think you're going to get out of this show. That's not happening. No.
No, actually, I think it will It is going to come back. But I have no reason to put my money at risk while I'm waiting for that to happen. Because I think I probably, of all the people in the crypto crew, I probably am the one that should at least put any of the money at risk. So I'm just being rational for myself. You all are making extremely rational and smart decisions for yourselves.
Well, and we need a rational person for the audience, at a minimum.
Yeah. I'm the liaison with the audience here. So, well, we haven't heard this for at least a week.
Token trouble. That token was trouble.
Oh, that's usually the one that comes second. Anyway, Karis, let me do this the right order. Why did I put 2B on this son?
You put the funeral.
Token trouble.
Oh, because...
Token trouble. Token was trouble. Token trouble.
Where's your other liner? Oh, it's under the liners. No wonder. It's been so long since
we've
done it.
You're going to make my intro.
That still wasn't the one that I played first. But at least it had music in it.
Oh. It did have music in it.
Well, don't worry. In post-production,
it'll
be perfect.
I love all the music you pick for me.
Yeah, I will eliminate all my mistakes in post-production, except for the ones I mistakenly leave in. So go ahead. What do you have for Token Trouble this week, Kara?
Oh, so many.
Give us a review. Now, who have you talked about in recent weeks? Not all the weeks, just a couple of the recent weeks.
So in recent weeks, well, one that I really wanted to talk about, well... We'll start with that.
By the way, before we do that, let me interrupt you.
please.
How are you doing with Pied Piper?
Pied Piper. So I have not paid attention other than every once in a while. Their tweets are just fantastic. I mean, if anybody can do great things and make crypto fun, it's Pied Piper tweets. And they just get better with building that team. They're definitely.
Well, we're going to tweet that because we got to get some more exposure.
Yeah, I don't think either one of us need more exposure. But they did do another airdrop with Huli, the Huli coin. Mm-hmm. So if you were holding Pied Piper or hodling, you got Huli coin, which was lovely. And I believe there was hint at more airdrops coming until we got into this bear market, and they may have had to rethink
somebody,
how that happened.
Somebody tweeted me today about a airdrop trying to get me to sign up. So
regarding Pied Piper?
No, it was a different one. Jingo Coin or something. It was INGO Coin. It wasn't Bingo Coin. It was something else. I'll look at it while you're finishing.
You'll definitely. There's so many.
I will spend 10 seconds not interrupting you, so you can continue.
So many airdrops to choose from anymore. I can't keep up with them. But some of the other coins that I had looked at in the past, of course, we are watching EOS and Tron because both of them are converting to mainnet. So that means they are going from Ethereum, I believe they, so Tron in particular was based on Ethereum or built on Ethereum. It wasn't in the original plan for them to leave the Ethereum network, but they have since created their own mainnet. So they need to convert ERC-20 tokens into Tron and get them Tron tokens on their own blockchain, which they're going to be a platform where you can build the app, so an Ethereum competitor. The difference between Tron and EOS, there are many, but the main one in the token exchange is that Tron is leaving it up to the exchanges. It's all going to happen on the exchanges. Whereas EOS, they had block one, write the software. They've now gone through quite a process that we've been watching over the past several weeks of getting their mainnet, their software, their public blockchain out into the public using 21 delegated block producers. So how these block producers have governed the process is what most people are watching. And there's been a lot of debate because they've become somewhat centralized in their decision making.
So they locked up some accounts?
So they locked out some accounts in particular. I mean, they were malicious. They were spammers, bad actors. But there's been debate as to how they did it, whether it should have been governed by all token holders or just the block producers themselves jumped on freezing the accounts. So there hasn't been as much democracy in choosing who's who in this process. But they would argue that it's for the security of the system. And one thing that I think's been discounted in this whole thing is they're releasing patches and updating the software real time. Granted, there was a lot to fix, that they are patching quite quickly, and their willingness to do it out in the open as opposed to beforehand, I think just lends itself to an education by other projects.
Can you tell if in all this controversy, if the pricing has moved outside the norm, the pricing of the whole market in general?
So I haven't really paid attention to the price of it. I think it was trading around $11, and it's at $8.29 right now-ish, around $8.29. I was really surprised to see that much trading around it right now. I wouldn't. If I were a potential buyer of EOS, I would wait a month. It's not going to skyrocket. I don't understand where the speculation.
That's like a year.
Right. Okay. So maybe even 3 months. But let some of this settle down. I mean, there was still a significant amount of trading going on when the tokens were technically frozen. Now the way EOS has done it, you had to freeze in the wallet. And nobody could even figure out how to get their tokens in the right place in order to vote for the block producers, which I'm sure would feed plenty of conspiracy. But the thing with the only ones that could be traded when the bear market started were the ones that were on exchanges because they were hot and they weren't frozen. But I was surprised to see, and I didn't check the volume, but I wouldn't recommend investing in it right now until it settles down a little bit.
Well, I know a lot of people are in suspense because I've been looking to find that airdrop token that just...
Oh, yeah, please tell us.
It's Zingo token, so it wasn't Jingo token. I was thinking it's some old political term.
Do we know what they
wrong.
Do or what you can do with the token if
They're
you get
going
the airdrop?
To airdrop you 10,000 ZNGs. To the first 7,500 people that sign up.
Do we know what it'll get us?
You mean what is the current exchange rate?
No, like what's Zingo good for?
Let's see. It says Zingo token airdrop. The first 7,500 members, and they had a couple icons with bags of money. The first 7,500 members receive 10,000 ZNG, parentheses, $40. The referral extra bonus of 1,000 ZNG for each refer. Start filling up and complete the airdrop form below. And they have a nice picture of a big old box with a parachute on it. And let's see if any of these
are
trading
now? Let's see.
Farhan Khan says nice project in his reply to the tweet. Let's see if I get
the project. We don't know what it is.
Well, I'm sure if I clicked the it was just, you know, I can only do so much show prep,
I know,
and this came
I'm going
minutes before I left the
I'm
house.
I'm helping you while you're reading it. I'm sorry, I'll
let's
stop
see,
talking.
Let's see if it gives. So you got to go to Twitter and at Zingo Token.
I'm there.
And what's are you found a website yet? So, all right. Well, that's a little on the fly production there. So, what else? Well, you never got the update on how much Pied Piper's worth now.
So I don't know how much Pied Piper's worth right now.
Hey, how many did they airdrop you?
So 750 and 751, but I don't know the value of it.
So that's 1501 total?
Tokens.
And well, I saw them not in the last few days, but they're up around 50 cents.
Were they really?
Yeah.
You're trying to tempt me. No, I'm holding. I got some 911 tokens too, ethereal, I guess, just magically appeared. And then Sabine and I, we could do a 51% attack on Fresco. We both are winners of 2000.
What's that going for?
2000. No, it's not trading.
Oh.
I only play in the stuff that's the true monopoly right now.
So,
monopoly money.
So,
but
so
no, I won't
Sabine
take my
Sabine had the harder version of the test, didn't she?
Well, I think we both just did the writing one. So we didn't actually participate in the test airdrop.
So what's the status of making Augie famous? More famous.
He needs to write an article about the blockchain this week and put it on Twitter.
I need some conversation on that.
So you just have to write about one of
no,
your...
No, I know, but I still need some conversation.
I meant, how are we going to get his art for sale on Fresco?
This is a staged process? That's definitely a staged process. That part, I can't commit to that. I can tell y'all how to do it, but I can't be the one to do it. I can't.
Well, we wouldn't look at you to do it.
Right.
Just.
So with time.
Sabine.
More reason to get in here, get into the studio, Sabine. No, but it's not quite on the. They're beta testing it at
so
the moment.
What are you working on this week as we wrap up?
So I'm finally studying the fundamentals of Ripple because Goldbug seems to like them, and we talked about them quite a bit last week. I'll just throw this out there so he can't defend it because that's how we roll here.
It's especially good at the end so he can't even
exactly.
distract him.
He can't even call or text. So my brief assessment of what Ripple is it's a public... Ripple itself is a private company under the disguise of XRP making itself publicly traded. So it's using the XRP token to enjoy the benefits of a publicly traded company while they are private because they do control majority of the XRP. And granted, the XRP blockchain... The distributed ledger, as they say, would exist if Ripple went under. If Ripple went under, they're the ones controlling the supply, so it would be worthless. I mean, the ledger may work, but I think with them being in control of as much of the XRP as they are and controlling the supply, and it's only... pending them being able to sell software to the Western unions and the payment processors, I think it's a security in disguise.
All right. Well, I tend to agree with you, even though my thought process was much simpler.
Well, nothing that I ever explained is simple, right? That's why you translate me for the rest of the world, and I just go back and make
it
more complicated.
I'm not saying it was better. I was just much more simple-minded in how I came to that conclusion. A lot of intuition and looking at Brad Garlinghouse, and I was like, I don't trust that guy. Augie, what's up with you?
Not a whole lot. I'm curious where this is. I'm wondering if there's a casket for Bitcoin. There seems to be that question that when things are in doubt, things are in doubt, and the trade situation I think is going to affect everything and all
the
business.
It will be buried in an internet sea.
There you go.
All right. Well, we will come back next week and tell you who was right or wrong about their weekly predictions. Possibly Sabine back next week. Hoping Andy will be back to defend himself next week. And Cara, Augie, always hope they'll be here. And in 2 weeks will be the best of show we'll be playing. And everybody will have a week off that week. We'll be back next week with another Henry Rain show.